Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your great love for us and the sending of your Son. We do pray, Lord, as we come back now, we just, Lord, energize our thoughts and minds. And, Lord, just allow you to once again minister the truth of your word to us. That, Lord, that we treat it as precious to our hearts and souls. And, Lord, as we look into it, Lord, that we would see your reflection, Father, and the great and mighty God that you are. Lord, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We've been looking at nothing new under the sun, and we've been looking at what it is like to be a family and a church family, and that the Word of God is true and right. We can keep faithful in that. And today's one, we're going to be looking, beware of changing attitudes. Beware of changing attitudes. You know, they say, if you'd like to open your Bibles anywhere to 2 Chronicles, we'll be going through 2 Chronicles, but they say that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. In other words, you can't change the habits or ways of an old dog. They've been brought up. They go by their instincts. That's engraved in their behaviour to how they act. Now, that could be true concerning a dog, but what about a person? Can they change in their ways as they get older? Can one become wiser as they get older, or can they become less wise as they get older? You know, it's interesting to note, and remember these studies are coming from a study I did from Living Insights, but it's interesting to note, for many children, the wisest man they run into is their grandfather. There's nothing he can't fix. He certainly knows about the good old days. He goes on about those. He understands the weather. It's going to rain, and sure enough, an hour later, it's raining. And he has the extra dollar when they need it. He can explain a bit of history. And that's a good picture, and so it should be. But the bottom line is that he's not a superhuman. He's just like everyone else. He's only human. Now, Job 32:9 reminds us, great men are not always wise, neither do the age understand judgment. Now, just because a person gets older or is old doesn't necessarily mean they are wise. And there are many in the Bible, grandparents and fathers as well. So, you know, dads, this is for you also. We have Noah, Abraham, David, Moses, Miriam. They're just a few. And one of the saddest things that gives us a clear warning, we see there was a king who for all intents and purposes seemed headed for success, yet his story ends up with pain and heartache. Now this man, seemingly wise as a father and a grandfather, we know as Uzziah. And we mentioned him this morning in this morning's message, but he was king during the period of the divided kingdoms in Jewish history. And the nation under Saul and David and Solomon, all who reigned about 40 years each, was one nation. And but after Solomon died, Rehoboam, he treated the Jews in the north harshly, and there was a split between the nation, between north and south. And the 10 tribes of the north kept the name Israel. The 2 southern tribes became Judah. And it was during the first 16 years of Uzziah's life, his father Amaziah was king. Now he reigned around 29 years, and the cause of his death was murder. And it's interesting, Uzziah never knew a time when his father wasn't the king. Now Uzziah, he reigned for 42 years. He died at 68 years of age. Now his death is put down to leprosy. But Jotham, who was Uzziah's son, he reigned 16 years before he died, then as Ahaz at 20 began to reign, he was the grandson of Uzziah. And he was only 4 years old when his father took the throne. So he only knew his grandfather for around about 4 years. 4 years. Now when Uzziah took the throne at the age of 16, it was after the murder of his father. And it would have been quite a load for a 16-year-old to carry. Would that 16-year-old be wise enough to rule a nation? You know, his father didn't show a real kingly type of character. In fact, in 2 Chronicles 25:1, we read, Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehadon of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. It sounds all right there, but look what it says. But not with a perfect heart. In other words, Amaziah was a compromiser. You see, he had a desire to please the Lord, but he also had a desire to please the people. And that only ended up in one thing happening. Neither the Lord nor the people were pleased. In fact, late in his reign, he forsook the Lord and worshipped other gods. In chapter 25, verse 14, we read, "It came to pass, after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods and bowed himself down before them and burned incense unto them." See, it was at that time the people had enough of him. Verse 2 Chronicles 25, 27. "Now after that time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish, but they sent to Lachish after him and slew him there." And if you look at chapter 26, verse 1, it tells us, "Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah." We're having it's more of a Bible study message today, but I hope we get the point. Now look at verse 3. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. There we are. Here we are with this king Uzziah. Listen, we not long witnessed the coronation of King Charles in England. And if you saw any of that, it was quite intriguing the way they put walls around him, and he went in secretly and they spoke to him and they put robes on him and all the ceremonies they went through, and that when he came out, the people shouted, "Long live the king." Now I wonder how a 16-year-old would react to that sort of thing happening to them, the pressure of that happening to them. Could Uzziah rule any different to what his father did, or would he make the same mistakes? Would he say, "I must serve the Lord with my whole heart," and as long as he did, he prospered? Now, first thing we look at is Uzziah's spiritual achievements. Chapter 26, verse 4 says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought the God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." Men, that's an important passage of scripture for us as men. Under the guidance and influence of Zechariah, this very young king was nurtured in his faith, and he enjoyed the spiritual blessing of the Lord upon his life. So that was his spiritual achievement. Now his personal achievements. You know, his throne's established upon his spiritual achievements. He starts to rebuild the kingdom after the damage of his father's reign. And in chapter 26, verse 9, we read, "Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, and at the valley gate, and at the turning of the wall, and fortified them. Also he built towers in the desert, and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains, and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry." Now this passage of scripture, this man, he's intriguing with what he was able to accomplish, and all that he did. His ability to invest in his country to help it to prosper and to grow, it held him in very good stead, not only among his own people, but among other nations as well, all of which, of course, was the work of the Lord in his life. Look at verse 15 at the end of it, because we're going to get back to the start of it in a minute. "And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong." So there are his personal achievements. Now let's look at his military achievements. Verse 6, chapter 26. He went forth and warred against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbaal and the Mehemans. And the Ammonites gave gift to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering of Egypt. Why? Because he strengthened himself exceedingly. Now drop down to verse 14. Look what this man has done in this time. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem, look at this, engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Look at this. Look what this guy has put together. This is a strong nation. He's got the latest weapons technology. You know, those bulwarks to shoot arrows, I've only seen a picture of them. Remember the old-fashioned Gatling gun where they would wind the handle around? They would have a drum full of arrows, and as it rolled around, it would spit the arrows out. This is in this time. This time, he's got great stones upon the wall. Here's a nation that feels safe and secure from their enemies. This would be like them being back in the days of David, when everything was fine and right. The people are in good spirits. They're prosperous. They're safe. Imagine Uzziah's approval rating. It would have been sky high. He's no longer a 16-year-old lad trying to work out the hows and whys of being a king and running a nation. He's now older, he's comfortable in his role, he's secure in his position. It's all happening for this king. There's nothing to worry about. The nation's financially secure, safe with the latest weaponry that the world could have probably known at that time. God's fighting not only with him, but for him. What's he got to be worried about? Well, we come to his collapse. What caused this man's fall? What we do see is as his kingdom grew more prosperous, and we're going to get to it in a minute, and stronger, his spiritual foundation became much weaker. What was the cause of all that? It's the old story. Pride, like a slow spreading cancer, had eaten away at him, and without realizing it, his throne's about to collapse under the growing disease of his own ego. Look at chapter 26, verse 16. I'll read through to 21. But when he was strong, look what happens. His heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men, and they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thy honour from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was king over, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. See, the pride had got the better of him, the ego had got the better of him. He just went and he thought he could help himself do anything he wanted to. It was the priest's job to take care of that incense, not his. And it's interesting to notice that as the leprosy grew up and they were going to thrust him out in verse 20, notice what it says, yea, himself hasted also to go out. He couldn't wait to get out of there. He wanted out. He knew he had done a wrong thing. Now, what a warning that is against pride. He was once a humble, teachable king in the things of the Lord, but as he got older, are we listening, men? As he got older, he became hardened, he became argumentative, and he became arrogant. Isn't that incredible? Absolutely incredible. Spiritual leprosy had been spreading throughout his soul, and then all of a sudden it exposes itself for everyone to be able to see it. And even worse is the repercussions that this had on his family, especially his grandson Ahaz. Now, Ahaz's father, Jotham, he was 25 when he took the throne after Uzziah, and he reigned 16 years. So go to chapter 27, verse 2, and we read, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. See, he was right. He modeled his life after the earlier years of his father's reign. And notice he never entered the temple. That makes a point of telling us that. He never entered the temple the way his father did to try and take on the priest's work. But in verse 3, we see he too built the high gate of the house of the Lord. And on the wall of Ophel he built much. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forests he built castles and towers. He fought also with the king of the Ammonites and prevailed against them. And the children of Ammon gave him the same year 100 talents of silver, 10,000 measures of wheat, 10,000 of barley. So much did the children of Ammon pay unto him both the second and third year. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. You see, he kept his heart close to God, but Jotham's son, Uzziah's grandson, Ahaz, he's a different kettle of fish altogether. If you go to chapter 28, and we see in verse 1 there, Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, but he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord like David his father, for he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen who the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. You know, this makes me scratch my head. How does a young man with a godly father like Jotham have such a weak and lethargic disregard towards God? Well, one reason could be when Jotham was a boy, King Uzziah, his father, was seeking the Lord. And while he was seeking the Lord, he was prosperous. While he was seeking the Lord was blessing him and watching over him and taking care of him. He was doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. But when Ahaz was a child, this is Uzziah's grandson, at that time Uzziah had fallen away and had been rebellious towards God. He had changed as he got older. It was fine with his son at the beginning because his son modeled the good part of his life. But when he got older, there's another one on the scene, a grandson, who saw in his grandfather a rebellious disregard for God. We can see a picture modeled there before us. See, Jotham, he has picked up his father's earlier life qualities while at an impressionable age. parents, your children go through that time where they are very, very impressionable. Remember Moses, his parents didn't have him for very long, and he had the testimony that he would rather suffer with the children of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And we see the same sort of thing happening here. Jotham picks up the good part of his life, of Uzziah's life, and Ahaz takes on the rebellious part. You know, it's extremely important that godly, righteous practices and habits are displayed before children, not hypocritically, but as a lifestyle principle before they begin to develop their characteristics that are modeled on the behavior and attitudes of the elder people in their family. You understand that? Say amen.
Amen.
That's very simple. Uzziah sowed seeds of rebellion, and his grandson Ahaz reaped the fruits of that rebellion. You know, you reap what you sow is a biblical principle all through the Bible. It's also a principle when you reap more than you sow, and you reap later than you sow. But you always reap what you sow. If you plant tomatoes hoping to get watermelons, it's not going to happen, amen? You reap what you sow. You cannot sow seeds of rebellion and reap righteousness. That's impossible. You cannot sow seeds of laziness and reap loyalty to God. Commitment to the Lord reaps contentment with the ways of the Lord in a young person's life, or in anyone's life. And that's an important thing for us to understand. Now, that was his collapse. He turned from the Lord and did his own thing. Now, the warning for us in all of this, in Uzziah's life, and I want us to understand this, especially us men, is one never grows too old to sin. You understand that? One never grows too old to sin. The older we get, the more the temptation is to rest on our laurels, to live off past successes, to live off past possessions and influences. And we can forget that it was the Lord who has prospered us. It's very easy to forget that as we grow older. Pride can sneak up. It can infiltrate our hearts. Why? Because our hearts have been left unguarded, and before long we sing the old, old song, "I did it my way." And we become very demanding with people around us. We become very prideful. We can become very arrogant. And we need to understand we are never, ever too old to seek out and ask the Lord to search our hearts to see if any prideful attitudes have put down roots into our spirits and are now starting to bear fruits. In Proverbs 16:18, we know pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord is happy. Secondly, and parents and grandparents, listen very carefully. You can never, never measure the positive influence you have on your family. Don't sell it short. The saying, which I just it irks me, the saying, don't do as I do, just do as I say, has absolutely no credence or merit at all. You model before your children what you do, and what you do better be done to the glory and the honour of the Lord. No one is as good as picking up a hypocrite as a child. They'll pick them out straight away. And God has given parents, especially the men, the responsibility to model Christ before his children. And if you want a model of Christ, the best I, in my way of thinking, to come up is a wholehearted surrender to the will of the Father, no matter the cost. That's a model of Christ. You see, Uzziah made a positive impact on his son Jotham's life when he was seeking the Lord, making godly decisions based on God's wisdom. And all Christian parents have the power to influence their children and grandchildren towards the things of the Lord. Thirdly, and this is one we all need to understand, you and I are always, always, always being watched. Our lives are being inspected by our family. Never forget the consequences that it's so negative through living a rebellious life. Now, I come across a statement, a man said, your home is a museum of memories. I thought that's a pretty good description. The way you model manhood, whether it's godly or ungodly, is another memory you stamp in your child's mind and your grandchildren's minds. The way you speak, listen carefully, to their mother or grandfathers to the grandmother is another picture, another memory you stamp on their minds. The correct discipline or the wrong or lack of discipline is another memory stamped on their minds. Your true surrender, worship, and walk with God is a memory that will be forever stamped into their minds. And every moment that you and I place another memory in the mind of our Jothams and Ahazes, doesn't mean we have to be perfect, but everything we do is placing a memory in their mind. Everything. It means we have to be faithful to the Lord. We have to humble ourselves. We have to surrender ourselves to Him. And we need to be thankful and grateful to Him for His wonderful help and work in our lives. You know, what struck me was, I'm finishing with a verse here, and this verse struck me when I was thinking about this. What happened to Uzziah when he died? Look at chapter 26, verse 23. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings. Isn't that, that's amazing, isn't it? But I want you to notice something. You might have picked it up. You might already know this. But look what they said. What did they call him? He is a leper. What a sad epitaph to have on a gravestone. He is a leper. Men, I just want to ask one thing and we'll close. What do you want to be remembered for? Your faithfulness, and service for God. It'd be terrible to have that other one on your headstone, wouldn't it? He is a leper. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us, Lord, just brief but to the point. And Lord, I just pray that we have seen a few insights there, Lord, to what it means to stand true and to honour you in our lives. Lord, it's so easy to start out right, but it's also so easy to go wrong. And we pray, Lord, that we be mindful of that, that we are living witnesses and testimonies to our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the young around us. Lord, we may not even have a family, but Lord, we have a church family. And as we stand before the young people in our church, we too have a duty, Lord, to portray to them what it means to be a man of God. And we ask, Lord, that in all our ways and all our thoughts, we remember, Lord, that we are a living testimony to Christ at work in us. And help us, Lord, to live worthy of your name. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.